Sweet from Psycho. Brings us into hour number two, and we have two more quick guesses for the contest, so we're going to have to go right back to our special guest, Paul Bartholomew, for a bit. David in South Carolina, you're up first. Let's see if you can pull the rabbit out of the hat here. Go ahead, David.
Hi, hey, David. It's wonderful to talk to you, and I want to quickly just tell you how much we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
Now, as far as I know, night of Halloween was between the time of which the dead was able to communicate with the living in, or transfer to the living. Man? Is that the...
Men?
Man, yes.
Man. Was it man, the most feared creature of the early celebrations of Halloween or observations of Halloween?
No, no, sorry.
Oh, golly.
Now, that's a very logical projection that you made there. Now, that's a good guess, David. I don't know what it is.
However.
Let's see.
I'll tell you, to us, man is the scariest creature on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. That makes most sense to me.
Thank you, David, very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Devin, our very first caller, we've come full circle. This is going to be it, I have a feeling. Devin?
Come on, Devin.
You're putting a lot of pressure on me there.
I can hear the sweat hitting the floor, but go ahead anyhow.
All right, this is probably not it, but I'm going to have to guess. How about a goat?
No, we guessed goat, and that is a good guess, but, you know, you're just it's a different tradition. You're going back to the Strega of Italy, and this is where Halloween began, where Samhain began.
All right.
Okay.
Devin, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
We appreciate it. I don't know what it is. I think you ought to come up with another question. All right,
Hold on.
Chris in Pennsylvania. All right, Chris, hi.
One more go. This is one last time for me also. This has to be a fox.
No.
Ooh, now that's a good guess, too.
I thought he was a fox or a weasel. It had to be something like that.
Okay. Should we just call this one off?
We got to. Well, you folks have been magnificent. Chris, thank you.
You're
all winners because we're all in this together and nobody got it. So thank you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's one more call. This is the last one.
Okay.
Jared's getting it now. All right. I'm with all these folks who have tried so hard. They're all good guesses. Okay. John, welcome back. This is our last guess for this impossible question.
Okay, I'm going to try real hard. Would it be the Wolverine?
No, sorry.
Darn, now, see, there's another good guess.
But, Jeff, you already gave the answer.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I did?
You did.
John, thank you very much for the call and the guess.
You gave the answer, Jeff.
Think
back what you said just a moment ago. You said, we'll see if anyone can...
You're kidding.
No. The white rabbit. If you saw a white rabbit on Samhain Halloween, this was the most feared animal, the most feared sight you could have in the early traditions of Halloween, because the white hare was the spirit form of a young maiden who had died of a broken heart. And she'd come back to find any unfaithful or careless lover. So you can see there were a lot of frightened.
Now, you didn't make this all up, did you?
No. No, that's what I say. I found it, of course, in one of my volumes. And I thought, well, I want to see how, you know, people can get it. And the very first traditions of Halloween, the very first thing I Googled, it's right there.
Well, you see, you were thinking it so hard, I picked it up.
Do you think I just
No, I picked it up.
Oh, you did, yeah. I thought you knew, and you were giving a clue.
No. It was a psychic thing, though.
Okay. Well...
Well, all right. Now, all of you wonderful people, thank you.
But everyone has learned a lot from this.
Yeah. White rabbit. Give me a break. Come on. Jeez.
It's right there. Look it up.
I mean, yeah, how many people have you seen dressed up as a white rabbit at Halloween?
Actually, it's a very popular... No, I looked that up, too. It is a very popular costume.
Okay.
No, I'm...
All right.
I don't make these things up.
I hope Paul Bartholomew.
That's what I do. That's what I do is research.
Yeah, I know. I know. I hope Paul isn't on life support by now. Paul?
Yeah.
All right, Paul. You have at least 30 seconds. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, what's the Bigfoot? What's happening Bigfoot-wise?
Okay, well, the recent book we have out should be out in a couple of months by Hancock House.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be Bigfoot Encounters in New York and New England. And
what
it's basically going to do is it expands on the Bigfoot phenomena for the Northeast. And what we find when we looked into this is that the old reports from the Iroquois and the Algonquin of the Wendigo and the giant men of the mountains,
mm-hmm.
and the Samuel Champlain's Gagaos and so forth, all these reports seem to be consistent throughout the entire Northeast. And, you know, we looked at an old quote from Paul Raynal, who did an article on old slippery skin. And this quote could apply, you know, even though it's from this time period, it could apply to reports today. And,
mm-hmm.
and it goes, a giant thing, swift and covered with hair, with eyes like two pools of blood, smelling
mm-hmm.
like rotting meat. And if you dress that quote up, this is pretty much what's cited today. And
mm-hmm.
they'll describe mm-hmm. the odor as not rotting meat, but that, sulfuric, overpowering smell. They'll describe the eyes as not pools of blood, but as red and glowing. And, we go back to the Abenaki and the Mi'kmaq, and they
mm-hmm.
all have their references to these creatures. So whatever was going on back then is still going on today, and it's virtually identical.
So it's been around, whatever it is, for a long, long time.
Absolutely. And, you know, we had an update here. There was a man named Alan Como who was arrested on burglary charges up in the Warren County area. And he's been convicted, and I believe he's serving about a year or so in jail. He had apparently been up in this area since the 1980s, virtually undetected. Modern-day Jeremiah Johnson. And
mm-hmm.
What he would steal is he would go into summer places, and he would steal clothing and food, would leave jewelry, any type of electronic equipment behind, and he just took the necessities, so he became sort of a local folk hero here. And Don Medevier, who recently passed away, who was a newspaper man for this area, very famous, wrote a book, Medevier On, where the last chapter was called The Adirondack Bigfoot, and it talked about a 1932 case in which one of the original Bigfoots for the Adirondacks, which he called at the time, was killed in a shootout with police. This was another modern example of a mountain man in this area. So I think people really kind of underestimate the amount of forest area and the ruggedness of the terrain in this area. For instance, this Alan Como was able to hang out up in this area for years, virtually undetected.
That's interesting. You remember, what's the name? Ishii, I think, the last of his tribe in California.
Mm-hmm. Ishii,
right.
That
right.
had lived for so long just doing the same thing, people catching maybe a glimpse every now and then. And the
right.
fellow responsible for the bombing at the Olympics, in which the poor security guard got blamed for it. He,
that's
too,
right.
hid out in the woods for how many years before they found him? Wasn't it about 2 years before they finally apprehended him?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we have these modern examples, and I think it was a couple of years ago there were a couple of Japanese soldiers who had finally
right.
surrendered.
Right, right.
So,
here, just an elementary question. From
mm-hmm.
all your research in that area, are the Bigfoot that are reported, are they really like 7 and 8 feet tall? I mean, something that big crashing around, but or what do you find?
We get the full gambit of reports here with the sizes. For instance, there was a report I was just looking at a little while ago that had the creature being five and a half feet tall. This is from Bristol, Connecticut in January of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And this creature had glowing red eyes in the report. But, you know, fairly small individual. We have other reports of 9 feet, 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that wide difference. And if you have a species that's surviving, then you're going to have large, just as we do with people, you're going to have mm-hmm. four-foot mm-hmm. people, and we're going to have, you know, 7-foot people.
The long, the short, and the tall.
That's right. And one thing we have found with the reports, particularly with Kinderhook and where Bruce Hallenbeck is an expert down there on this creature, we found that the footprints run sometimes 3 toes, sometimes 5 toes. Very mm-hmm. unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be some sort of regional characteristic. And the sizes that come up quite frequently are 14 inches and 19. And if we look at it as a regular species, then perhaps that's a full-grown female and a full-grown male.
Yeah. Could be.
All right. Mm. It is also suggested that there are 3 or 4 types or subtypes of the Bigfoot in the 48 and thereabout contiguous United States and Canada. The tall Pacific, the shorter New England, the shorter Southern, and then another one in the Southwest. But it's a fascinating field, and we'll be right back after this. Tune. That's a question to you, Maestro.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I had to answer the door. There's a white rabbit knocking at the door.
Yeah, with a little checkered vest and a little stopwatch.
It's the one.
That's the one. Hi, what's the name of this piece, Paul Bartholomew?
Don't know.
Very, very famous film. One of Charlton Heston's great performances. Revenge of Bigfoot. You don't remember it?
Get your blank paw off me, you ape.
That's the one. Now, sound effects, all right? You want to hear a sound effect? Let's see if we can do this. I don't know. Here, Jared, see if you can catch this. This is a real sound effect for Halloween. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
was it?
It's a very familiar sound at the scene of poltergeist phenomena.
Creaking,
I don't know what it is.
It was a creaking door.
Yeah, but that winding, creaking, almost spring-like ticking sound, often hear it in haunting. Very,
you know,
and it, but it's not a creaking step. It seems to manifest, you know.
You know
around.
What that was?
What was that?
It was my desk chair.
That collapsed?
Yeah.
Before it collapsed.
No, I put it back together.
Oh.
Don't tell anyone that.
I'm sorry.
The secret.
I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. Okay, Paul, we don't have a whole lot of time tonight. We have so much to do. We've got to read the winner of the ghost story and everything. So we've got 2 or 3 minutes left, and we want to hear a little bit more from you, sir, if you will, and then we have to say goodnight, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, as we're talking about the Bigfoot reports, what we did is we just expanded into New Hampshire and Maine and Connecticut and Mass. And it's funny, you could take reports from Vermont, and almost interchange them with the similar reports from Maine and Massachusetts. Almost the same phenomena going on throughout the Northeast.
Huh.
So whatever this is, it's very consistent.
And historically stretches all the way back.
All the way back, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, all the major Indian civilizations here in North America, the indigenous peoples had Bigfoot. They all talked about it.
What about, quickly, what about UFO in the area, Paul?
We had a report in the, it'd be close to Rutland, 20 minutes from Rutland.
Okay, and Rutland, Vermont.
Mm-hmm, yep. And it was of what appeared to be two spotlights following a motorist, and he attributed, actually it was one spotlight, and he attributed it to headlights, even though it was one. And he pulled around a corner, and whatever it was behind him never came around the corner behind him. And he hasn't been able to explain the incident, and I recently sent it into the Independent Researchers Association down in Albany. And they'll probably put it in their newsletter to see if we get a response on it. But basically, he was scared enough that he would pull over to let the vehicle by, and yet there was nothing there. Kind of reminds me of some of the John Keel stuff.
Right.
And he went to a convenience store nearby, and he said that there were motorists there. They said the motorcycles were from another state, I believe it was Massachusetts. And that they were commenting on this bright light, but he never made contact with them. He was too shaken up at the time.
Hmm. Interesting.
That is.
And the new book comes out in a couple months.
Yes. Yeah. We're in the final stages. Everything's been signed and stuff. So
great. And its name again, Paul?
It'll be Bigfoot Encounters in New York and New England, and it'll be by Hancock House.
Very good. Very good.
And you had mentioned Amityville earlier, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be going down to see Lorraine in a couple of days at her Halloween gathering down there in Connecticut.
I was going to ask, and I didn't want to bring it up, but, I was going to ask if you had spoken to her. I know,
yes.
You know, there's kind of a awkward situation there right now.
Right.
And please give her our love. And say we're thinking about her and we're pulling for her.
I absolutely will.
Thank you, Paul, for being here tonight. We appreciate the time. Great to speak with you again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
All right. Take good care.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
And same to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's lay another question out on the table here.
Well, we laid the one. Do we have any response to that? How did the jack-o'-lantern get its name?
Well,
no.
All right.
Well,
that's an easy Google.
Well, so was the other one.
No one I know who has contacted me since you launched that question who has Googled it has been able to find it.
Well, I don't know. I must have a special Google.
Yeah, it's probably you'd use Goggle or Ogle or something. Anyway, there was a. It was a great question because it was unanswerable.
Oh, get out!
All right. No, it was just a little tough, you know? Black rabbit, okay, but not a white rabbit. Okay, gang, that's the question. How did the jack-o'-lantern get its name?
And I want to give away a book. I want to give away presents.
All right, we'll give away. We'll see what you'll win. Well, somebody's going to get this one. All right. And the phone number again is 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
Milk is a food and must not be eaten. It should be taken into your mouth and mix the saliva and spat into a spittoonery. Drinking the milk of the nincompoopish cow lowers your IQ. It makes you a biological sibling of the calf, a notoriously uninformed beast living on an idiot plateau of mentality. Animals and vegetals are as much creatures of creation as are you, the human eyes. God is nobody's fool. Do you really think he created the vegetable kingdom and the animal kingdom for you to feast on? Do you really think you're a higher form of life? You, with your dripping jaws and bloodshot eyes? You, with your varicosities and your vermin-form appendix? You, with your hemorrhoids and asteroids?
Now that's a scary Halloween voice.
Certainly is scary. I would not want to sit beside him on a long bus ride.
Well, you don't have to. He's no longer with us.
I know, I know.
Plus, you don't ride buses anymore. So you're doubly safe.
Okay.
Now,
he was quite a fellow.
He was. Now, listen. We got people who want to win something. We have a little predicament here. We've been sort of hung up in the white rabbit matrix.
Now, I sent you right away. Top one. I sent it to you.
I got it.
Okay.
I can't. I have no answer. I don't know.
No, I don't either.
All right. Now, okay. We have people ready to get. You know what we should do? We have people ready to guess. Did you put a question out?
Yeah, yeah.
You did?
Tradition.
That's right.
Tradition.
I was going to have a real fun contest with no question.
No question.
We just have them guess. No, now come on. Get a little bit cosmic here. That would be fun.
Okay.
To see if they get the right question.
You mean like the amazing Karnak or something? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Now, the question is on the table. Who is the first answer from, Jared? Lyle in Indianapolis. Hello, Lyle. Welcome to our Halloween program.
Well, good evening, gentlemen, and thanks.
Thank you.
This was a pretty easy one. It was an Irish folk tale. And it was a man named Jack who tricked the devil up a tree. He carved a cross into the bark, trapping the devil. Jack made a deal with the devil that saying that he would never tempt him again, and he would let him down. After Jack died, God wouldn't let him into heaven because of his drunken ways, and the devil wouldn't let him into hell. But the devil gave Jack a single ember to light his way through the darkness of eternity. Now, the tale goes that he put that ember into a hollowed-out turnip for the Irish, but here in the United States, we have more pumpkins than turnips.
That was a great job. Great answer.
You got it, Lyle. You got it. See how easy it is? See how easy?
Well, thanks.
Now, what do you...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Lyle, you go ahead. You first. You're the guest here.
I was just going to say I enjoy your shows just like the others have said. I've listened to you for a long time, and I like your website with all the information. I also say I love to read the books written by Mr. Steiger.
Thank you.
I want to tell this quick tale about how I got started reading it. There used to be a Salvation Army or Goodwill store, one of the two.
Okay.
And they used to get excess books from the bookstores, and they would tear off the front covers, and they would sell them in there for like 20 to 50 cents. But this has been long, long time ago.
Right.
And so that's where I got started reading the paranormal books and reading some of your books.
Well, whatever means necessary.
That's very nice, Lyle.
Happy Halloween, Lyle, and give your address to Jared, and you get a copy of Sherry's book, Face to Face with the Unknown.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lyle.
Happy Halloween.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Okay, great. Gee, it's nice to give something away.
Yeah.
I feel much better, even though it wasn't my book. I feel like I'm doing my job now. White rabbit. All right, now, Next up is our second special guest tonight, but it's actually two guests. It's the Siamese Esther twins. Cosmically joined.
They're not twins.
Cosmically joined. It's sorry, they're joined. You ask them. They'll tell you.
Twin souls. Twin souls. I'll go for that.
That's the point. A little crudely demonstrated, but that was the point.
Okay.
All right. Dr. and Dr. Esther, are you there?
This is Siamese Dave here.
Siamese Dave. I see. See?
And Twin Sharon.
Well,
like the twin gods of the Navajo.
Okay.
You guys sound like you're in a barrel.
Do you have any white rabbits there?
No.
No.
Okay. All right.
Haven't seen a one.
You know,
not even a jackrabbit.
People eat rabbit. They used to, anyway. I'm not talking about Elmer Fudd. I'm talking
about
people.
Like chicken.
That's what they say.
That's what my dad said.
Because they say the same thing about frog legs.
When I found out my bunnies were missing out in the cage, we realized we hadn't had chicken after all.
Now, that's a cruel awakening.
It was.
Honest to goodness. My Sherry has the same story.
She does.
What happened to her bunny?
Oh.
You're laughing at that, Mr. Steigen?
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the fact that here are two Sherrons, a continent apart, and they had the same childhood experience.
The same trauma, too.
Have never been able to surmount.
No, it's never left Sherry. I mean, she still cries sometimes for her rabbit.
Little bun. Now, is it true that frog legs also taste like chicken?
It's supposed to, but I don't think it does.
Well, you didn't put enough ketchup on it.
They keep jumping around.
All right. Now, are we on the... I don't care where you folks are. That's irrelevant. You're in the cosmos. You're in the ether, except you're still here. Are you on two phones? Is that what we're doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like we always do.
Dr. Esther sounds closer than Dr. Esther. And I'll let you two divine the answer to that one.
Well, I am, because I'm closer to my telephone than she is to mine.
All right. Okay, we're going to do some electronic voice phenomena, some ghost voices with Dave and Sharon in just a couple minutes. So stay right there. Dr. Esther, what is the name of that tune? We'll see which one answers, you see.
I have no idea.
Now, you're the wrong Dr. Esther.
That's right.
All right, Sharon.
I think I recognize it from a TV program.
Barnaby Conrad.
What?
Not Barnaby Conrad.
What was it? What was the guy's name?
Barnabas Collins.
Damn close.
Oh, yes. Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows, right?
Yes.
I never watched this one. That was doggone close.
Barnaby Conrad.
I had the right initials. I had almost the right syllables. It had the right roll off your tongue.
But you don't win a book.
Being hard on me tonight.
No book on that one.
No.
All right. What are you guys up to?
Our next.
Well, join the crew. The whole country's going down.
Well, we're in an area where we're getting a lot of that smoke from the California fires.
It's still up aloft, huh?
Yeah. In fact, coming into town this evening, the moon was blood red.
And full.
Well, it's listen, with a blood red moon, Mercury in retro, and Hugo Chavez of Venezuela calling for Bush to be put in the loony bin.
Doesn't sound good, does it?
No. Well, but Chavez is right.
And the moon is red, Hunter's moon.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mercury is in retro.
And it's a 14% larger moon than normal. And brighter moon than normal. It's a perfect Halloween full moon.
It sure is. Beautiful.
Tonight? Not tonight, next week. Or is it full tonight?
Last night, but tonight counts. I mean, you know, it's like a 3-day period full moon.
Right, my calendar's in November, no wonder. All right. Okay, you guys. It's EVP time. Now, for those of you new to the program, EVP is something that is just amazing. We don't know what it is, but it is quite clearly something that is more than real, and it appears to be live, real-time in many cases, interactive contact with people who are, shall we say, they have shed their corporeal restrictions.
Very good.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Had to happen sooner or later. Said something intelligent. All right, so EVP is what we do with Dave and Sharon once a month on the first Friday. They're with us at Halloween, of course, and we'll let you guys go ahead.
Okay, well, we're going to go back first to Pennsylvania, to low town of Coryville. And as you go east, I don't remember, what is it, 5 or 6 miles? You come to a little 1753 cemetery. And in this little cemetery, we got an amazing recording that we broke into two segments. And we call it Mary the Peach.
Mary the...
Mary was a gravestone that we were lifting off the ground and setting upright.
Okay.
And while we were doing this, and we realized later that we were told you can't do this, it's private property.
Mm-hmm.
You can't show respect for the dead by uprighting their fallen headstones.
Fallen headstones.
But we were fallen at that time, and so Sharon turned on her little digital recorder from a nameless shack, and while we were uprighting the gravestone, she got recorded some interesting recordings. Let me play the first one. And what we did was break this into two segments. Let me uncheck that autoplay. Here we go. The real Mary is a peach.
Now, I hear that there Mary is a peach. That there. Now, see,
very well be.
Well, let's hear it again. That's the fun of EVP, because it's not quite exact, but boy, it's so close. You just want to reach out and grab it.
And also, we use different segments of that have been cleaned up at different times, and so they may be a tad bit different. Let me play that again.
See if it says. All right, what do you say it is, Dave?
The real Mary is a peach.
The real Mary is a peach.
Oh, okay.
Or that there Mary is a peach.
Okay, let's see on that. Here we go.
Now it says the real Mary. He changed it on me. He played a different recording. See, he does this to me. You folks are new. Dave will often do. He'll play one. No, seriously, he'll play one.
Tricky.
He does. He tries to humiliate me all the time.
You know, sometimes it doesn't take much.
Ooh.
Did
you hear that? I'll be back after the news.
Yeah, anyone who comes up with corporeal restraint. It's impossible to humiliate anyone who's come up with that. I mean,
I had to get out my dictionary to see what you were talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been reading the dictionary again.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even own a dictionary. Sorry.
Okay, that was the first part of the segment. And the second part...
Okay, now, for you folks who are new, this was recorded on a digital or it doesn't matter, an analog recorder, a handheld, not heard by the people, Dave and Sharon, doing the recording, and yet when they play it back, there it is, as clear as day in many cases, that there, or this the real, Mary is a peach. Now, the tombstone had on it Mary Snodgrass. That was her name. And Dave and Sharon righted the tombstone, and that's what they recorded while they were there. So that's the first part of it.
And now we have the comments by one of Mary's associates, who says...
Okay, Sharon, what does it say?
Good question.
This one is too good for Mary. And then she calls him either the warback or the whoreback. And then a male says, watch your back.
Okay, now listen carefully and you'll hear this. This one is too good for Mary. Now, that's very clear in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. And then there's a little bit of a difficulty, but... It's and then the man at the end said, "Watch your back."
Yeah. Now, when she says this is the war bed or the war back, I'm sure it's something that was in the vernacular of the times.
Well, I kind of hear a naughty word there. So
you do?
Yeah, for a woman of a certain sexual orientation.
Now, they may very well have been part of the Amish community because we're right in that area.
Which would have made it really bad for her. And, but it was like we had a gathering of people talking about Mary.
A Peyton Place.
So there was something. And she was young when she died. So
she was only, I think, 26 or something when she passed on. But she must have been one pretty gal.
Does it say anything, Blessed Mother, or anything to indicate she was married or single?
She was married, and she's buried next to her husband, but there is no indication of children.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Very interesting, and you can certainly hear two female voices and a gruffer male voice coming in there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if the male voice is defending her or making an even more vulgar accusation.
Well, we've always just presumed that she was talking, that he was talking about the gal that was talking. You know, that the gal who was, you know, this is too good for Mary.
Right, right.
You know, I guess we were taking the side of Mary. And
okay.
Here was this gossiper.
Right,
and
right.
You watch her back, she'll assassinate you too.
Yeah.
But it may very well have been the other way around.
When did she pass on?
Oh, my goodness.
1700s?
No, I think it was like 1826 when she passed on.
Uh-huh. Well,
somewhere around that
year. The point is, apparently the people at that particular cemetery, it's like Peyton Place. They're still talking about the same old stuff. But
strong
for them,
feelings.
For them, maybe 2 minutes have passed. You know, who knows?
Exactly.
And the emotions that you take with you, the love, the bitterness, or the anger, continues on beyond the grave. You don't abandon those feelings when you pass over. They're not shed.
So give them up now, folks. Make your peace, as they say.
That's right. That's what it means. That's what it means, to make your peace.
It really does, because if you don't do it here, then you will do it on the other side.
Over and over and over.
Yes.
All right, very good. We have just a minute or so. You want to launch another contest? And by the way, before we're finished tonight, we're going to read the winner, Brad is, of the Ghost Story Contest. So you want to put a question out there? By the way, we've got a picture of the werewolf art by Dan Allen up at Brad and Sherry's page. You'll see it right below the picture of Brad at the Mighty Wurlitzer. It says werewolf art by Dan Allen. And we'll give that away. The next contest, can we give that and a book away? Let's make it, we'll build. Do we have another book?
We can have another book, sure.
Okay. And the question is?
Well, this is for the artwork now, we're saying?
Well, or artwork and a book, however you want to do it. We're running behind and giving, we got a truckload, a U-Haul truck full of stuff.
All right. Well, we can give another of the face-to-face with the unknown.
Oh, and the artwork.
And the artwork.
All right.
Okay, here's one. Here's one. You might have to think about this.
Yeah.
What do the legendary founders of Rome in the hero of Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book have in common?
What?
Think about it. If it's
this is
going
a Halloween program.
That's right. We're getting that fantastic Wolfman Dan Allen artwork. This is in that area. Come on.
You doctoral students, I'm sure, will have a bit of a challenge, but you should be able to handle it.
Yeah, you can handle this one.
All right. Say it again real quick.
What do the legendary founders of Rome and the hero of Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book have in common?
Okay, all right. Back in a couple minutes.